Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show. So first time listeners, you need to tune in every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. I'll be there.
Let's kick it off with our theme song for usually Thursday night, especially during Survivor's time of the year. And you know what it is. Welcome to the show, everyone. Tonight we're going to be talking about Survivor. If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506. Let's have a great show, guys.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you all for being here with us tonight for the Survivor Philippines Roundtable Show. It's on the Rad Reality Show Network. I'm Cherry Garcia. And I'm also accompanied by Mr. Paul from Minnesota. He's our clip master. He does all of our audio clips that you hear. He does our opening that you just heard and all the little clips that you hear him do, like the songs that we play for our host and our guest. And he does all kinds of little tricks with audio that we just love. So how are you doing tonight, Paul?
I'm really tricky.
You are tricky, but we love it because you do some really cool stuff.
There we go, finally. Normally we always have a number of guests that aren't logged into, with a chat name. And until right now, I didn't see a single one. It was really strange. It's like, that doesn't look normal, but we do have a guest, and welcome to everybody that is in the chat room, especially because you're live, and the podcasters later on, welcome.
How has your week been going so far, Paul?
Well, it was going pretty good until today. It was kind of weird. I'm still a night owl. I thought after Big Brother I would get to bed early, but I tend to do other things, including working on clips and the like. I actually redid the birthday song that we play, so that was last night. But the reason I'm bringing it up is my parents, about a week ago, asked if I could drive them downtown Minneapolis to their normal, I think it's probably yearly audio check, hearing check. And it's in downtown Minneapolis, and I was just had to show up at their place about 10 a.m. To get there in time. And I know to some of you that might sound, well, that's not that early, but for me that means, considering driving time, I got to get up I set my alarm for about 8 o'clock in the morning, and it was only with about 4 hours of sleep. I knew I should have gone to bed earlier, but it just didn't happen. So I'm getting ready, I'm rushing, and I finally get away. I'm running, you know, maybe 10 minutes behind what I wanted to be, but we had some built-in extra time, so I was okay with that. And as I'm driving, I call and tell my dad I'm about 10 minutes away, you know, so they can start getting ready to come down and meet me. And he said, oh, you didn't listen to your messages? Well, I had switched my phone, my normal phone, I transferred it to my cell phone, and apparently I didn't hear the cell phone ringing.
I don't like where this is headed.
Huh? Yeah, he had left me a message that he was nauseated and a little bit of diarrhea, and he canceled the appointment, and he left me a message that I didn't need to show up.
Oh, no.
So I continued to go down there anyway because I was that close to, you know, their place, and I stopped in for a visit. He's wanting to sell his golf clubs, so I wanted to look at them and get some more information before, you know, I went ahead and sold them, you know, more details and that type of thing, because I went online and people selling them were giving more details than he had originally given me. And also, I needed to talk with my mother. She had had a doctor's appointment on Monday and wanted to get some details there. And there was a few grocery items that they needed. So it was a good visit. Dad was feeling fine. But here's the weird part about it. The last time, at least I recall, probably not the last time, but about 3-4 months ago, I was to drive them down to Rochester to the Mayo Clinic for my dad's follow-up that he, you know, it was like a six-month or year follow-up. He had had some mouth cancer that was treated and it's all gone and that type of thing, but they do regular follow-ups. And we got about 10 minutes away from their where they live, and he says, I think you need to pull over. I'm not feeling well. He had taken some medication for something, and we pull over the side of the road on, and those that live in Minneapolis know what I'm talking about. We were on 494 on the south side of Minneapolis, which is very busy. And I had to switch over from three lanes over to the shoulder in heavy traffic and stop, and the door opens up, the passenger door opens up, and he starts puking on the side of the road, on the side of the freeway. And so we turned around, went home, and they called Rochester and had to cancel the appointment. So I'm feeling like I'm a jinx, you know?
Poor Paul.
I know. Oh, poor Dad. But at any rate, so I got home, and I didn't go to sleep even though I was tired, and was finishing up doing some stuff, fell asleep, woke up about 7:30 and go, damn, I still have to watch Survivor.
Oh, no.
So, actually, I had a few things going on when you asked the question. You certainly didn't expect this long of an answer, but that's what happened. But anyway,
I certainly understand what it's like for us getting up at that hour of the morning, because neither one of us are people that enjoy that hour of the morning.
No.
I know I've had to get up and take my mom to appointments go to them myself. And
right.
It's just not fun.
You have not only Big Brother that you have gotten used to staying up late and watch during Big Brother season watching the feeds, but you've got a husband that works a late shift that you kind of basically stay on his time schedule.
Yeah,
so
I keep his hours.
Yeah. So, yeah, early in the morning, my parents actually, they do know that, and when they make appointments, they try to make them a little bit later, you know, outside of rush hour, but knowing, you know, well, we're not going to make an appointment at 8 o'clock in the morning, because that would be 6 a.m. for me to wake up type of thing.
Oh, my goodness.
So, anyway, so you saw in the chat, or maybe you didn't see in the chat room, your St. Louis Cardinals. Your baseball, that's baseball, by the way, Cherry.
I know who the Cardinals are. Oh, my goodness.
They are winning 4-1, bottom of the sixth. Nobody out, two runners on, and they're up 2-1 in the championship series. If they win this, they go to the World Series, in case you didn't know.
Well, I'm certainly rooting for them to win.
I would love
to see them.
And I want to mention, for those that even follow, I know Michelle from the Bronx is an avid follower of WNBA basketball, but our Minnesota Lynx are in the championship series, you know, they were the world champion of the WNBA last year, and they are now in the finals. They lost their first game at home. They only play five games, best out of five, and they lost their first game. They didn't look all that great in the first half of their second game, but they just were amazing in the second half and pulled away to win it. So that's going on for us here in Minneapolis, and they are a solid team that has a chance to repeat, which is never easy. So that's the other sport that I'm watching. What other sports are there? Hockey? No hockey.
Rub it in, Paul. This is not a sports show.
I know, but you know, you may not remember, but we put a lot of our chatters to sleep with Ron and I and other people talking sports. Ron loved to talk about sports.
We're not supposed to be putting them to sleep, though. This is the beginning of the show, remember?
I know. I know. Anyway, so most of the time was taken up giving my little morning story and my parents and that type of thing, but I just had to give props to your St. Louis team. Congratulations. So,
we had quite a storm here last night, and it was so funny because the score was 3-1.
Are you talking sports still?
Well, yeah. I mean, you started it. The storm rolls through. I'm kind of talking weather a little bit.
Okay.
The storm rolls through. And I'm not sure exactly what inning they were in, but the score was 3-1, and they had to wait. I think it was, I know it was hours before they could finish the game, go back and play the rest of the game. And I asked my husband this morning, you know, what happened in the Cardinals game? And apparently it ended. They went back and continued and finished the game, and it ended 3-1. It never did change. So, but at least we won and, you know, brought home the big W for that game. But, boy, there was a terrible storm. A lot of wind, a lot of lightning, and there was even a few rotation type things.
Wow.
Tornadoes were spotted and a little bit of damage both here and in Illinois.
It looks like in the chat we got some dog reporting that 3.5 hours was the delay on that game. So
yeah, I thought it was around three or a little bit more. It was quite a delay, and I was surprised that they actually went back and continued the game, but they did. And I thought maybe they might call it, you know. And they went back and continued the game, and it never changed. It stayed 3-1, and we won the game. So that's how it goes. But like I said, at least we brought home the win. You know, that first game that we played, it looked like we were going to lose it. And I think they said that it was the biggest comeback in a postseason, how was it they put it? Somebody might can help me with this one. Dog, maybe you can help me. It was the biggest comeback in a postseason game. I forget how they worded it. But anyway, the Cardinals had done something spectacular with that comeback. They were down 6-0, I think. And then they came back and won it 9-7.
Yeah.
And
Hey, I just
well, we're starting to see some of our regulars in here that we haven't seen in a while. Hi,
Deb. I know.
Deb.
I was. Yeah.
Hey, mm-hmm. House Roden.
Got to
get some shout-outs out here.
Good idea.
We've got House Roden and the Boom Boom Room, Deb, Mrs. Evil, our Dr. Lola's in the house, Jody's here, KF and Dog is here, the MMBB fan is here, Night Owl is here, Phil is here, we've got a bunch of guests in the house.
I guessed 10394, 10439, 10625, and 9942.
Okay, Paul. Oh, my goodness.
One of our chatters seems to want to talk already. Do you think we should talk to him, or what are your thoughts?
Let's do. Let's bring one of our guests up on the line with us. Mr. Boom Boom Room, how are you tonight?
Oh, not too shabby.
Hooray. How you doing, Ben?
One of these guys are going to call in and say, don't introduce me. I'm going to do Peiko again or something. Remember when I used to do that? Hello, this is Peiko.
Hello, this is Peiko. Pedro? Oh, Peiko. That's a bit of an inside story to you new listeners. That goes back a ways.
That does. But the guy's still famous. He's on every season of Big Brother. Every season. Since
Peiko, also known as Jesse Young Guns. Yes.
Yep.
House Roden just said that he's putting the final touches on the House Roden BB finale. It should be up tomorrow. I can't wait to see that.
Nice. That is awesome.
So what's new in your neck of the woods, Ben? Are you getting excited for Toys for Tots and anything else you're doing?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely excited for Toys for Tots. The list grows and grows and grows, and tonight, another confirmation, Adam, BB13, maybe it had something to do with me asking him the other night. Who knows? But
I love it.
Adam did confirm, and he's bringing Farrah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Adam did confirm?
Yep. Just happened. Just found out. So
he sounded, Jerry and Ben, he sounded like he needed to, you know, he was so busy, and it sounded in his voice like he really wanted to go, but he really needed to check. And he must have checked all his calendar and saw that there was room on the calendar and for Farrah to come too. Now, that's really exciting. Good news to you.
Oh, I have a little news.
Oh, yeah?
I do.
Yeah?
Earlier this evening, I had a talk with Gen City.
Oh, cool.
And
it sounds like Gen City
may be going to Toys for Tots as well.
Nice. She should.
So,
she's only a couple hours away. That's cool.
It's not absolutely confirmed yet, but it sounds like she will be going. I can't say it's absolute yet, but
that's what it sounds like.
That's awesome.
Cool. Geez, this is going to be the biggest Toys for Tots ever.
And I can also tell you that Gen City will be on Manic Monday this Monday.
Cool. Geez, I wish I could catch one of those. One of these nights I'm just going to skip work, you know. We'll call
play
in
hooky.
Again. Well, remember the one night I called in when I was at work and Richard Hatch was on? I had to, you know. But the guy I was working for, he's like, that's not Richard Hatch. I'm like, turn on your computer and listen to that. And he's like, oh, that's really Richard Hatch. That's cool. You know, but then he's like, get back to work. what are you going to do? Keep an eye out for a 323 number if it pops up, or possibly a couple of California numbers that may pop up. maybe a little bit of a surprise in store tonight. Maybe a huge surprise in store tonight.
Well, let's just see who the surprise might be. Because I think I know who this is. Miss 323, please, please announce who you are.
This is Nayanka.
Hi, Nayanka. How are you, sweetie?
Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Oh, we're wonderful.
Good.
Thank you so much for calling in, girl.
Oh, you know I had to call after last night.
Yep.
What a show it was.
Was that a show? Was it a show? I don't know what that was.
I texted Nayanka during it, and I'm like, WTF am I watching?
That was, oh my God. I don't like this season at all. I know very few character names. And I just don't know how to feel about this season because it started off as three tribes, and I feel like some people aren't getting a fair edit, and then we're not seeing enough people, and it's like concentrating on certain people. It's just like a very weird season. And then this whole quitting and I'm sick, I can't go on, but I have a choice whole thing makes me feel weird.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't know. They said that, we haven't gone through the whole show from start to finish yet. I was trying to sort of delay a little bit for our host to call in, but you're right. The show has been, I thought it's been a fairly good season so far. I've enjoyed it, but it's been different, and it's been sort of hard to tell exactly how the edits are going. This is why, and we've talked about it on this show a few times already, I really wish that Survivor would go to like a three times a week show, sort of like Big Brother is in the summer. They have enough support and enough viewership out there that they really could do. Even if they put it online, I mean, if they don't want to do it because it is during prime time, unlike, Big Brother is during the summer, where they, they don't have as much shows to put on. If they wanted to do it online, do three shows a week for those of us who are hardcore Survivor fans, so that they can show us more of what's really going on out there. I know they'll never, ever, ever give us 24-hour live feeds like they do Big Brother. That's not going to happen.
Right.
But at least give us a couple of more shows to show us what's really going on, so we get better edits of what's going on out there and see who these people truly are and what's really happening out there, so that we're not getting an entire week crushed down to 42 minutes.
Right. It's not just like how I have to play devil's advocate with it, because it's been 2 years since I played the game, and I've grown so much from watching season to season. Because as you guys know, I wasn't really aware of what the show was before I got on it, and I had to do my research. But to see it go from, like, I feel like they're running out of ideas in location. I'm so disappointed in that damn dumbass challenge they have to do last night with the holding the damn thing and having to slap it. Like, are we really running out of ideas here? Because that's something I would play, like, in the pool. It was just, I don't know. I'm just, anyway, let me just get to why I called. This weekend, this past week I was in Virginia. As you guys know, they had the Reality Rescue 3. And, you get to know certain people, and I got to play devil's advocate again, because I was a villain, and you guys have got to know me through calling in on different radio times, but I don't like RC at all. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because today I somehow got attacked on Facebook. If you guys are familiar with the Survivor Whispers.
Yep.
Right.
I got attacked, basically, because I voiced my opinion. And I don't like how viewers or fans can voice their opinions, bash me or bash whoever there is, but then us on the other side, we can't voice our opinions. We have no voice. We have no sound. And where it's coming from with me is it's more hurtful to see somebody basically quitting the game. I don't care if you say if it's a medical evacuation, because everybody has parasites in their stomach at this point. Something's wrong with somebody at this point. There's malnutrition going on. And she did have a choice. But to see Jeff hand over his jacket and come on the boat and then lay her out and rub on her and do all of this
extra,
it's like, what the hell is going on? And what is this? So for me to say, oh, I'm cold, you know, I got to think about my body first. You know, I made it this far into the game, but, you know, I want to leave. It's like, okay, well, why Purple Kelly didn't get no damn jacket? She was skinnier than me. She was all bones.
True.
You know, and we were further in the game. Damn,
hey, you were four times as far. You were 28 days out. And
yeah, and this is early. But
1 week.
But my thing is, where's Purple Kelly in all of this? We go from Dana, we go to Nayaka, but where's Purple Kelly in all of this? Because she had the parasites. Like immediately when we left the island, she had to take the pills immediately. From licking the damn coconut like it was a damn bowl. That's how she ended up getting it, you know. But to see this whole thing go down with Dana, it's like, excuse my language, this is some bullshit. This is ridiculous. Where was my jacket when y'all came to interview me with y'all damn umbrellas, pillows, and jackets and high-ass socks and jeans and y'all rubber boots? But she gets a jacket? Come on, this is some bull. No disrespect to Dana, you know, congratulations on making it on the show and going as far as you did. This is not personal. This is just some bullshit to me.
Right.
Well, maybe
you know,
Jeff
and
learned.
I think
maybe.
Everybody should be able to voice their opinion without being attacked.
Sure.
There's no reason for anybody to be attacked anywhere. Everybody should be able to have their opinion and not be attacked. You know, that's just my opinion. You know, everybody has a different view of everything in this world. You know, we can walk into an art museum and look at a picture on a wall and see a different picture hanging there and have a different view of it.
Right.
Everybody has their own opinions of everything in this world. And nobody's opinion should be squashed. You know, that's
true.
Your opinion. And, you know, you should be able to say what your opinion is without being attacked for it. So I'm really sorry that happened to you, Nayanka. I understand
your
anger.
It gets really old. It's 2 years old, and the best things that people have to say, the only things that they could come up with is the quitter or the girl that pushed someone with the prosthetic. Like, do you guys understand? Okay, you guys on a show right now. Imagine you and somebody standing across from you with a prosthetic leg. Do you mean to tell me you go say, well, you know what? You have one leg. I think I'm going to just go ahead and give you the clue.
Yep.
Hell no. You go do whatever you can so this person doesn't get it. Damn if they don't have two working legs. That's not your problem. You guys are both playing a game for $1 million. You don't see
right.
one leg. You see $1 million. So the best thing y'all got to come up with after 2 damn years is you push somebody with a prosthetic leg and you quit. I think I need to hear something new now, because at this point I can't even get mad. I just get like a little irritated and I laugh, and then it's like, okay, now what?
It's good to still be remembered, though, because, I mean, I love Kelly, but who remembers Kelly? Everybody remembers Nayanka. Who remembers
Kelly?
Well,
thank you.
Who's going to remember Dana? Nobody, you know? And I, you know, I wish her the best, but you're one of the memorable characters, and that's the beauty of you, you know? You're going to get haters. That's cool.
Yeah.
If you get haters, that means you're doing something right, you know?
Right.
You're doing something that they can't stand, so.
And hopefully everybody realizes they listen to you and they realize that, in all actuality, you're a very intelligent, beautiful, sweet young lady.
True.
And you've got a great head on your shoulders, and you treat people well, and
yep.
you have a lot of respect for others, and you know, hopefully people see that, you know, after, you know, they get to know you, they hear you on air, they understand who the real Nyanka is. And that's one thing that I always have loved our founder of this radio show about, is that Ron always gave people that chance to come on the show and find out who that real person is, not the person who was on the show under all the stress, under all the cameras, in the situation that was so foreign to them, that, you know, you're in such a bubble of stress and anxiety, and in a situation that you've never been in before, around strangers, with all your, you know, comforts of home gone. You have none of your friends, family around you. Everything is different. You can't really be who you truly are in those situations. I mean, you can be yourself as much as possible, but, you know, it's different. And so when you come off of that show and you can be yourself truly, that's when, you know, Ron would want to have them come on the show and find out, you know, who the real person is and let them shine through. And, you know, we were able to do that with you, Nyanka, and, you know, so many others. And it's been such a blessing to see, you know, those people come on the air and shine through and be able to find out who, you know, who they really are. And,
yep.
you know, let them yep. have their voice on air and see the beauty of who they truly are in their heart.
Right.
And
it's true. It's true.
Well,
I'm so good about that.
Well, I want to thank you guys for even allowing us the chance to even speak, you know, and want to hear our story and hear our side, because it helps us a lot with venting and reflecting and
True.
Having other people try to understand. So, you know, like from all of us, from Survivor and Big Brother, Amazing Race and all of that, I want to thank you for all
thank
of us
you.
For just giving us that opportunity, because that's huge
Aww.
For us.
Well,
awesome.
Thank you.
Well, that's such a nice thing for you guys to say. I really do appreciate those words. I do have to, before we got another caller we're going to need to pick up, but I want to ask you, especially watching this season, oh my God, the rain. You certainly must relate to the rain.
Oh, yeah.
Aw.
That, it sucks to be them right now. I can only imagine. But you know, they did have a blanket, right?
Tarp.
Because
they
had something to cover themselves. So that's one thing that they lucked out on.
Yep.
I feel for them because you get that ocean and then you get that rain. So with that ocean and that rain, you get a wind. So that means your fire is not going. You have no fire. So it's just cold.
Yeah.
Like a crisp cold. Have you ever been in that crisp cold where it hurt?
Yep.
That's what it is.
I live in Minnesota, so you know my answer.
Yes.
You know, so.
You understand. You understand.
And for the record, real quick before we pick up caller, there's a blog somewhere, and Jeff Probst talks about you pushing down the girl and says technically no foul, it's the game. You know, what's she supposed to do, give her the prize? So even Jeff says, you know, that he doesn't have a beef with you doing what you did, you know? It's a game. She joined the game,
exactly.
She knew she was going to get thrown around. So.
Yeah. I need to break in here, and I'm sorry, I need to break in here. We do have the host of our show waiting for us now. I'm going to play a little tune here and introduce him and get him up on the air with us.
Cool.
Bubba shot the jukebox last night. Said it played a sad song, it made him cry. Went to his truck and got a 45. Bubba shot the jukebox last night. Bubba shot the jukebox last night.
about a 45. Well, he shot the jukebox, stopped with a one shot. Bubba shot the jukebox.
Bubba, thank you so much for calling in. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Sorry, I'm running behind. We was talking to a recruiter on the phone about our arrangements for going up to the University of Cincinnati, and my son's going to be able to, checking out the program and stuff like that, see if he's going to be considering them and stuff. And I finally told that recruiter, "Hey, this is great. We got our stuff down." I had told him, I said, "I had to go." Hey. He laughed. He said, "This is the first time I've ever had somebody cut me short." You know.
Oh my goodness, Bubba.
I said, "Hey, we already got plans. We're coming." So.
Hey,
oh,
Bobby,
my
right?
Goodness.
Is,
well, thank you so
Paul.
Much.
This is Paul. What, right. What's he Sorry. Being recruited in a sport?
Me, my That's son, fun. He's been recruited for football. He's been invited
cool.
to the University of Auburn, University of Michigan, University of Tennessee,
wow.
Maryland, yeah, LSU. There's a bunch of schools looking at him. So we're just going around visiting a bunch of schools and see which ones, you know, he likes.
What's his position?
Yeah, he'll. They invite him up. Me and his mom and him, and you know, they give us a big dinner, give us around the school, stuff like that. Let us come down on the field while they're warming up, and then we have, you know, special seats for the game, and it's pretty cool. You
what
know,
position
what,
does he play?
He plays middle linebacker, fullback, and strong safety. So they kind of move him around. You know, he can play just about anywhere. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's got to be one of the most exciting times of your life and his life.
Oh, it is. Absolutely. You know, people always ask me, they said, "Would you go back on the show?" I said, "Are you kidding?" Yeah. My boys are right now are in high school. And well, Gable's not in high school, but two of them is in high school, and they're having a great, you know, football season and stuff. So I'm enjoying, you know, my children right now. So
cool.
Well, that's
so what y'all
think
about the show last
incredible.
Night?
Before we talk about that, I just want to
okay.
let people know in the chat room and the listeners, I don't know why, but this happens sometimes with phones and also with Blog Talk, but Nayanka, her phone actually dropped off the air. We had a survivor from Nicaragua, Nayanka, on there before you came in there, Ben.
Oh.
Let me, I'll
Ben, maybe you
back.
Can
yeah.
get her back on. On with us. I don't know if her cell phone dropped or what the problem. Maybe you can try to get her back with us.
Yeah, I'm going to text her right now.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So
talk about the show. Go ahead.
So, I sort of have some notes. I don't know if you want me to start or.
Oh yeah, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Well,
you
we
know,
started off with it being day 10, and Malcolm and Denise are heading back to their camp talking about what might happen to them. Denise says she thinks that they will be split up and will be absorbed into the remaining tribes. We see them sleep through the night without a tarp because they haven't won any challenges. They're basically just without anything. It rains all night, and they're just miserable. They wake up and get tree mail saying that there will be a reward challenge today. And so both Malcolm and Denise know that there is a hidden immunity somewhere hidden on their camp. And they decide that they need to look for that hidden immunity before they go to this reward challenge. Just
yeah.
in case this happens today, you know, that they are
right.
absorbed into one of the other tribes, that they can at least have this hidden immunity with them. And the only thing that they're going to be faced with is if they're split up, whichever one of them finds it will have it, and the other one won't. If they're both absorbed into the same tribe, then they can sort of use it together. But if they're split up, then they realize that one of them is going
right.
to, you know, be without it. So they start looking throughout the entire camp. They're digging. They're looking in trees. So they finally go to where the rice is kept. They look inside the rice. It's not there. Of course, we all know as viewers that Russell took the clue with him. And Denise even looks underneath the bottom of the container where the rice was being kept, and nothing. And then we see Malcolm look at the lid of the container, and he takes his knife, and he taps off the hidden immunity idol, and he's just ecstatic. And he even says that he's, you know, giggling like a schoolgirl. And so they go off to the reward challenge. Jeff tells Denise and Malcolm to drop their buffs. He throws them a bag, and inside the bag is two packages. They each draw one, and it's buffs wrapped basically in brown paper. They open them, and Malcolm goes to Tandang, and Denise goes to Calabao.
Malcolm came out, I think, when I was watching it, I felt that that was just an added superstar. You know,
I figured
it was just going to kind of run the game. You know, I mean, you know, we talked last week that we thought that most likely they're going to split them up, put them on different tribes, because if they go to tribal council, you can't vote for yourself, and it'd be a tie. So we kind of saw this coming, but I think Malcolm came out on a better end by far. I think I think he's going to be able to maneuver right in there. I think Scoop kind of showed his hand a little bit there when they were in the challenge, and he threw his stuff up and knocked it out of the hand. I mean, he's athletic, he's smart, and, you know, he's got to be the one of the guys you got on your radar. You know, I mean, he's too smooth, you know what I'm saying?
He's got a great social game, and he's athletic. You know, he's got it all going for him.
That's right. And I've known Scoop for a while, and I tell you, man, we go to these benefits and these charities. Well, just this past July, we were down in Orlando together and stuff like that. And the way he can work a room, you know, he makes sure he talks to everybody. You know, you don't have to be best friends with somebody, but just have some, you know, at least a social relationship or whatnot. And you watch him playing this game, and, you know, he has a working relationship with everybody. And the way he's doing it, I mean, he's just, he's smooth. He's a good player.
Right. So the challenge begins. They have, I didn't know exactly what to call it, but it looks like an upside-down sort of chess piece sort of thing. They hold in their hand, and then it has a flat surface. And on top of it, they set another piece on top of it, and they go in a circle, and the tribe member has to try to knock the opposing tribe member's piece off. And round one is Malcolm against Jeff Kent. Now, maybe my opinion is different from everyone else's, but it looked to me like when Malcolm knocked the piece off, that he actually knocked his Jeff Kent's off first, but Malcolm's piece hit the ground first. So they gave the point to Jeff Kent. Does anybody have any input on that?
Okay. Here's what I saw. And I forget which one it was. Malcolm, I think, knocked off the piece first, but then the piece that he knocked off didn't hit the ground before his hit the ground.
Right.
Right, yeah. And then since it's never whose piece hits the ground first, so.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with what you saw, Cherry. It actually kind of toppled off his Malcolm's pedestal and went directly to the ground when Yeah, you almost have to hit pause and do a replay to see it, but it hit the ground first.
Right. So Jeff wound up getting the point on that one. So the game carries on, and it's 4-4 tie, and Malcolm and Jeff are back in the ring at the 4-4 tie. And Jeff Malcolm actually wins this one and wins the challenge for Tan Deng. And it's like probably the happiest day that Malcolm has had since he's been on Survivor.
And did you notice how Malcolm used Scoop's idea to win it?
He wasn't the only one. There was several others that tried to do that as well. It was a brilliant move when he first did that, and I watched everybody else that went in the arena, and majority of them tried to replicate it, and I wrote that down with stars around it, how great that was, what Scoopin did.
Excellent. It was excellent. You know, a lot of times I thought it was good that Scoop kept it to himself and done it. Because a lot of times, you know, you strategize and you say, hey, guys, this is what we could do. You know, hey, this is what we could do. And Scoop, you know, he knows it's an individual game. And even though, you know, you want your tribe to win this, he's going to see how everybody plays it to see if anybody else comes up or if somebody has something different, and he saves it. There were a lot of people, they just can't help but talk. But I thought it was, you know, something, and it's just something small you pick up. You know, I'll look at that and think, you know what, he can keep his mouth shut. You know, so it's, I thought it was great that he kept it to himself instead of spreading it with everybody and have them use it up before he even got to him.
Right, I agree. And, you know, it's good, too, to find out who observes and learns from you and can pick something up that quickly, too.
Yeah.
But Malcolm was just, like, ecstatic and so happy that he won. And Jeff Probst asked Malcolm, how does it feel to finally win, you know, and Malcolm was saying how awesome it felt. And then Jeff asked Denise, you know, 5 straight challenges and still no win. And she says, but I've got a family now, you know. And she was still at least happy that she had a family to go back to. And so she wasn't as disappointed as, you know, people might have thought. And she just wanted to figure out how she was going to place herself in this new family. And so we go back to the camps, and we see Penner is concerned that, you know, they now have an advantage. And back at Tan Deng, they're enjoying their reward, which was coffee, tea, sugar, cookies, and muffins and biscuits. And they're all, you know, enjoying all these sweets and everything. And they're talking about how Malcolm brings a good energy to the tribe, no negativity. And we see RC sort of looking disappointed because she really wanted to try to get tight with Malcolm, but she saw him right away talking to Pete, and she knew that she wasn't going to be able to get in with Malcolm at that point. And she tells a little bit of a story about how she was bullied at school and that she wasn't going to give up. And then it goes on to Pete sort of back in the woods talking to Malcolm. And he's talking about pulling him into his alliance. And he actually tells him right away that they have the hidden immunity idol. And he's bringing him into their alliance right away. And Malcolm says he feels like the stud football player from the rival school right now. He says, like, everyone wants to get to know me. Everyone is pulling me aside saying, hey, I'll be your best friend. You don't want to hang with those guys. Those guys stink. And he says, I'm not going to lie. I'm enjoying it right now. So that was his little cameo. But Malcolm he played everything just right. He went in there very, you know, calm and cool and didn't, you know, ruffle any feathers. He was just himself and, you know, smiled and sort of got to know everybody and was just himself. And everybody on that tribe loved him. So he's sitting pretty right now on Tan Deng, and he's already been accepted into the major alliance there. On the other tribe, however, on Calabao, Katie was talking about how she was needing to figure out how she could get Denise on the girls' side. And then we start seeing Dana and how bad she's feeling. And Penner and the rest are all, you know, trying to take care of her. Medical is called in. The medics say that she can be given more fluids to try to keep her in the game for at least 12 hours and see how it goes. Jeff says to Dana, clearly you're uncomfortable, but the only time medical pulls anyone from the game is when medical decides they cannot last another moment because their life is in danger. So now it's on you. So what do you want to do? And Dana basically, you know, says that she cannot go on. She doesn't want to be out there sick anymore. She's crying, and as she's crying, she says she wishes she wasn't sick. He takes his jacket off and lays it over her and asks her how she wants to go out. He calls the rest of the tribe out, and they all say their farewells to Dana. And you can see that Katie is particularly upset because, you know, that's her sidekick. That's her BFF.
That was major because, like you said, they had these two alliances of three women and the three guys, and now they have Denise to court, and, you know, whoever gets her is going to have the stronger, you know. So I know Katie... It's the game, you know, and I'm sure
right.
She was sad, you know, about Dana being sick, but still, you got to consider your position in the game, and it didn't look very good, and I can understand why she was upset.
Right. Then they went to the immunity challenge. Jeff intros the new Calabao tribe without Dana, describes at the challenge that, you know, she was too sick to go on, and she pulled herself from the game. He describes the challenge, and this is another one where we have obstacles ending with a puzzle, which I think this is like the season of the puzzles.
Yeah.
Katie is the only one who has trouble getting over the first
obstacle. Wait. I have to bring this up. I love Jeff calling out Abby.
And, yeah, Abby is, she was set out because they were one person down. So he asked, who's going to sit out? And Abby says she is. And he said, Abby, how many challenges have you actually participated in? And she says, two. So out of all the challenges they've played so far, she has only participated in two challenges. So Katie's the only one who's
do what?
How do you feel about somebody volunteering to sit out that often? How does the opinion of your tribe mates how does that affect your tribe mates' opinion of you?
Well, you know, it's she must be strong, really social, and not a lot of things you're seeing on because there's so much right now going on that you're not seeing on television. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. You know, one person made a comment to me today, there's no villains this season. It's just missing that. I'm thinking, yeah, there is. You just don't know who it is. You know what I mean? You know, but her setting out that many challenges, here's the way I look at it. If our team is strong enough to pull us through these, and I know she's going to be loyal. Her loyalty will keep her in the game.
Okay.
Because when we get individual, that's one chick I ain't got to worry about. You see what I'm saying? So if she can just make it to where it's individual challenges, you can bank on her loyalty. And that right there means everything. And if you're just playing, a lot of people go in and say, man, if I just make it the next day, if I can make the next 3 days, I can make the next 3 days, that's what I'm talking about, the next 3 days. That's a good strategy for so far, but you have to have some pieces set ahead but when you get there. So if I'm an alliance with her and my team's winning, that's fine because her loyalty will keep her in the game.
Okay. That's from a player's perspective, and that's why I asked you. That really helps me understand a lot more.
Yeah, because when it comes down to it, I mean, everybody says you want to keep your team strong. Well, you want to keep your team strong and win, but you still need to put them pieces out there ahead, because if you've got somebody they're okay, but you don't know about your loyalty, I would take the one that's more loyal and just think, hey, you know, somebody's going to have to pick up some slack, because that loyalty will come up in the game big time. I mean, that's two votes right there, yours and that person. So
that's right. So Jeff mentions at least four times during the challenge that Katie was the one that drugged the Calabot team down. Tandang wins the challenge, and the puzzle basically said live to play another day. Tandang wins by seconds, and they are now undefeated in this game. Penner and Jeff and Carter basically sort of need to decide, you know, how they're going to play this. They actually talked to Denise, and they brought Denise into their alliance. Then their decision is who they're going to vote out, either Katie or Dawson. Katie was weak on this challenge, but they all say that, you know, Dawson has been the weaker link in the tribe in past weeks. So they
right.
were going back and forth on who to vote out, whether it would be Katie or Dawson.
Backing up just a bit, I have to point out that what stood out for me during the challenge is how often Jeff called Katie out on, it's Katie's fault. He didn't say your fault, but I mean, basically called her out through the whole challenge. And it kind of
he said it at least four times.
I'm sitting there thinking, if I was there, I don't need the host of the show putting a big old target on my back for me, you know, but that is his job, I guess. But it's like, oh,
now,
shit. Don't.
Oh, I know. I would have wanted.
When I first started, you know, talking on the show and stuff like that, I brought up when you do the interviews how they'll lead you into questions, and sometimes they'll give you information that you didn't have by informing it of a question. Remember what I'm saying that? When I would say, like, what did you think about Bubba signaling, even though she didn't see me signal? They just told. You remember
us
having this conversation? Okay. But now they're doing the same thing, except they're getting a little bit more bolder with it and actually putting it on camera. It's the same thing, except now you got the host doing it rather than just doing it in the interview. It's the same thing. It's just now you're catching it on TV because they're putting it on TV. They're doing it out in the open now. They're putting targets on people. And it's almost like, you know,
I mean,
you know,
that was
Jeff
blatant.
Jeff or Mark Burnett, every whose idea is to do it, just be a little puppet master so they can try to see, you know, who they want to get through the game. It's not like they just pick somebody out and say, hey, we'll do all this for you. But it's little helps through the game. I mean, hey, maybe that's just the way I see it. But
it's that manipulation,
Yeah, so.
So anyway, they showed Dawson saying toying with Jeff, comparing him and his baseball to other sports, and sort of putting him down, and her doing a cameo talking about how much she enjoyed it, and saying that he was like a little mouse in a corner, and that she was, you know, just toying with him and how much she loved it. You know, she was just going to stomp on him one day, you know. And
I'm disappointed just because I know what a big hockey fan you are that she didn't put hockey up there, you know, in the order of sports.
So she really was thinking that she was, you know, sitting pretty and just toying with Jeff, and she was, you know, sort of had nothing to worry about. And she was even telling Katie, you know, don't worry, girl, you're not going to be voted out. So they go to tribal, and
without her belongings, by the way.
Pardon me?
I noticed that she was not carrying her belongings with her to tribal.
Right. Yeah, she really thought she was out of danger. She didn't think she had any danger at all on her back. And at the vote, well, first of all, Jeff asked her, you know, what it was like for the tribe when they had to take Dana out. And she did mention that, you know, it was very difficult for them to see Dana carried out. And they talked about that for a little while, and then it was time to vote. Dana was voted out, and what really just blew me away was when Dawson walked up, put her what do you call that with your fire? Your
torch.
He snuffed out the fire on her torch. She took a step toward Jeff Probst, wrapped her hand around the back of his neck, and stepped even closer and gave him a big kiss, and then walked down the path. And I've never, ever seen that on Survivor. I mean...
Well, if you remember during the show, she made a comment that Jeff Probst in our camp, like she's a little starstruck.
I know.
Jeff. And when she got her torch snuffed, she might have thought, I'll never have this opportunity again. Why not? And you know what? I don't blame her. If that's what she wanted to do, do it. What are they going to do? Kick you off the show?
You know, I mean, well,
us Big Brother fans, I don't know about you, Cherry, but I always wonder why more people, when they get evicted from the Big Brother house, don't give Julie Chen a big hug. You know, every time somebody gives her a hug, I go, oh, good for her, good for her. So it's kind of similar, you know, on Survivor. I thought that was sweet.
True. One thing's for sure, if I ever have to take a class, I'm going to call Cherry to come take notes.
Well,
I'll be sure to make a perfect grade.
Then the next week's, thank you very much for that, by the way, Bubba. And
no
then
problem. You do a wonderful job.
In the, when it shows what's coming up for next week, it says that everyone is playing dirty, and the game is getting personal. And Jeff Probst says, I'm pretty sure this is unprecedented. So I don't know what's going to happen.
I know.
Something big must happen next week.
Yeah, and who was it? Artists seem to not be happy, so
right.
I don't know. Those kind of challenges, though, when they're in those kind of arenas, are always brutal.
And the only other thing left is when
the votes.
When Dawson left, she said, Jeff Kent owes me so big.
That's right.
And if he wins, I want a motorcycle, I want a helmet, I want a sidecar, and I want a pink gun. And so, I guess she feels like she did him a huge favor by not blowing the whistle on him.
I was actually thinking, Cherry, when she was doing the digs on his sports, I thought, okay, she's going to talk to Jeff on her own and say, listen, I want you, unless you keep me safe,
you know, at Tribal, I'm going to tell everybody who you are and how much you're probably worth. And that never happened. But who knows if he would have, you know, even taken a deal like that.
That's true. I mean, it would have been a dangerous move, but it would have been safer than playing it out the way she did. I think the way she's throwing it out there, she was almost put the target on her back. I agree with you, Paul. I think she should have went to him and made the deal, you know. And
yeah,
when she got voted out, if she really wanted to harpoon his ship, I was sitting there waiting, you know, I thought she
at
was
tribal?
Blindsided. I thought, yeah, at Tribal Council, she got, you know, harpooned. I thought she was going to turn around and say, hey, Jim's a professional baseball player making millions. Are you going to let him win? You know,
yep.
Call him out.
That
right
was
there.
That was a true blindside because, you know, she didn't do that because she thought there was no way that I'm going to get voted out. The other interesting thing, and I want you to pipe in on this, Bubba, is when I watched the votes, obviously the rest of the tribe clued Katie in on who they were voting for. And they did not clue in Dana because Dana voted out the new tribe mate, Denise. So is that probably what happened?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right on it. You're a very good student of the game. You're beyond fan. You need to be like in the playing range, you know.
Cherry takes good notes, but I do pay attention to little details like that as well. And it's because we've gotten to talk with so many of past contestants, you know, they like yourself that have given us such a new insight into what happens behind the cameras and what we don't see. Because it's all edited. And before you came on the line, Cherry again brought up the fact that there's so much that we don't get to see. I just wish we could get more footage, even if it's a webisode on the internet. And, oh, I so agree, Cherry.
Wow.
Yeah.
I do, too. We do have a caller that would like to talk about Survivor. Would you mind if I brought up a call?
Go ahead.
Let's do this. Hi, Deb. Thank you so much for calling tonight. Do you have a question for Bubba?
Hi, Terry. How you doing?
Well, I'm good. How are you?
It's Deb Mrs. Evil, Deb.
Hey, Deb.
Deb Mrs. Evil.
Bubba, wait a minute. We Big Brother people know what the meaning of her name is, but why don't you quickly tell Bubba why that's your name?
Oh.
You bad evil dick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Season 8, Evil Dick season, my favorite season. He's my favorite player. Not that he's the best player of all time, but he's still my favorite player. I like mean people.
Well,
so that was my chat name everywhere way back then, and I never changed it because that's how people know me. I'm really not an evil person.
Okay. Matter of fact, just earlier I was telling that we done a benefit in Orlando with Give Kids the World, and Mike Scoogle was down there. Well, Evil Dick was down there too, and we had this big old long line, and everybody was coming through signing autographs and stuff like that. We had our Sharpies, we signed all our pictures on these books and stuff like that, and here these kids came by, and they had like Sharpie drawn mustaches and goatees and black eyes and everything else. It's like, what in the world? And come to find out, instead of signing the book, Evil Dick was down there drawing black eyes on them and mustaches on them. I said, don't they know that's permanent ink? You know, it's just, you know, they're going to have to wear that off. They can't wash it off. But Evil Dick was down there just drawing mustaches on all these kids and stuff.
That's awesome.
I have gotten to meet so many people from the reality shows, like at the Vegas things and everything, but I have never got, he's my favorite person ever, and I've never gotten to meet him, but maybe someday.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Wow. Yep, definitely someday.
Survivor show. But anyhow.
That's a good story.
I think that the competition they had last night was to knock each other's idols off the plate thing was really stupid, frankly. in my opinion. I just thought that was dumb.
Weird.
But
in other words, it wasn't that tough of a challenge, or what part of it?
I don't know. I just thought it was like bogus. I don't know. But if you had half a brain, the thing to do would be, I mean, since they had it and you have to do it, the thing to do, and I think some of them ended up trying it eventually, would be boost your, you know, take your plate with your idol, boost that sucker as high up in the air as you can, and then knock the other person out. Boom.
Well, yeah, you know, when I first saw what they were doing, I thought some of those, you know, busty ladies might have an advantage because some of them look like they worked at Hooters and might be able to hold it without knocking it up.
Okay, Dana, the girl that ended up leaving sick, she's like, what, 2 feet tall and weighs 40
yeah.
pounds? Who's she going to knock off, you know?
Damn.
Yeah, they seem to have some form of those duo competitions, you know, almost every year. I think about the ones where they have the what are those dueling bags that have big, you know, on each end. Oh, what is that called? Jousting.
Oh, yeah, jousting. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But. It goes back, you know, like, you know,
I'm just
she was
glad
saying
that
this,
wasn't
this,
the
immunity right.
challenge. Let me
she was
that
saying
way.
This challenge was, you know, kind of, you know, soft, cheesy, or however you want to say it. But
right.
going back to when, if you'll notice a pattern here, I told you about the interviews where they'll lead you into question. You don't see that. Now Jeff is saying, pointing out, putting targets on players' backs. Okay, now let's look at this challenge. This also goes on. That challenge right there would favor somebody with a long reach. So if in all these games, whether it's puzzles, whether it's physical, they set them up, and it's like, okay, they don't have a certain order they do these challenges. They don't say, hey, this is challenge one, challenge two. As the game goes on, if there's someone who they feel that are getting good ratings or a bad guy that people's really tuning in or whatnot, they think, well, hey, you know what, he might be good at this challenge. When we played in my season, it was a balance beam where the guys had to go around, you know, the person on the end had to go around each person and then come off, and then another person had to go around. Well, if you watch it, they were made the same, but when all the guys are on one team and you're heavy, that thing was real wobbly. It was so much weight on it, and then when you watch the ladies, it don't shake at all.
Yeah.
And it's like they wanted the guys, it's ratings, they wanted the guys to struggle at first. You know, it's all about the ratings. When we went in and done the very first challenge, we had to crawl through the mud under that bamboo.
Oh, I totally believe
I'll tell you
that, because they do the same thing on
I
Big
swear,
Brother.
They
so.
Had about 3 more inches clearance than we did. I said, are you serious? And I mean, I was pointing it out before we even done it. And they're just trying to blow it off. They don't want to talk about it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, here they are. Not only are they smaller than us, they can go through it. You know, now they've got it all because they want to have somewhat persuasion through the game, whether it's teeing off on a question, making a challenge, fit for a certain person, all that stuff. It
yeah, you have to keep trading up. I did think that the real competition for immunity was good. Yeah, you know, I like that. Yeah, you know. And I think that it was, in my opinion, I think it was good that Malcolm and Denise got split. I think they're both balls of fire. I'm sorry, but I do. And I thought it was real interesting that each of them going to a different team, especially where tribe, I'm sorry, it's tribes and Survivor, but it really kind of cracked me up that Malcolm was so immediately welcomed with open arms, you know, like they were happy to have him, you know, and the girls and boys wanted to fight over him, but that went away real fast, you know, but I think I might root for Malcolm now. Let me try my
Malcolm.
He's a fighter.
Cool.
He's a fighter. He's good. He got stuck in a bad team. You know, whatever. But Denise too. She is a damn fighting woman.
She is.
And
Malcolm's pretty easy on the eyes too.
And they're happy to have her too. So I think it's going to be interesting.
Malcolm looks like he's having fun with the game, where everyone else is all stressed out. You know,
right.
Even when he was losing,
he's just happy to be on a team where he has a chance to win. You know,
right.
Well, Malcolm right now is like the girl that everybody wants to take to the prom.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's crazy about Mal. Hey, glad you're here. Blah blah blah. You know, and one of the things is, you know, Malcolm is a great guy, but if he's smart, he's going to play both ends against himself because everybody wants him. And everybody's wanting to win their alliance. And he's going to, and what he needs to do is sit back and pick, say which alliance is going to be better. And when it comes to have a single immunity, who have I got better chance to of beating? So
yeah, I think he's going
to
be smart about it.
See how he plays. Huh?
And Denise,
when you say Deb?
I mean, you just look at her arms. She's a little tiny woman, but she's got muscles out of the yin yang, you know?
Oh, yeah. She kicked someone's ass.
Yeah. But I can't help. I have to, in my heart, way back in the back, I have to root for Blair. If you all know what I mean.
Oh, absolutely. You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and you have.
I have to have my little in the background rooting for Blair, Lisa Winchell, just because she's Blair, you know.
No one's recognized her yet?
No.
I think one person knows
who
she is. Well,
Scoopin' did, but
I can't remember which one it is. One person knows who she is.
Oh, really?
Mike Scoopin'.
Yeah. Maybe it's him, but I know one person does.
I mean, I can't believe those girls are, like, looking right in the face of that challenge and not thinking, gosh, she looks familiar. I know her in heart. You know? I mean,
I think most of those girls, her ex-wife, she looks exactly the same. When she was on television.
Yeah, she looks exactly the same, you know?
No,
she really does.
I know. I mean, it's like, come on.
I think it's awesome. I always
gotta be
for the weird
people
nobody wants to read for, but...
Yeah,
but she
seems to really be the go-to puzzle person now on her tribe.
Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. She's good at a lot of stuff, so I hope she goes far at least. I really do. But I think I'm rooting for Malcolm. I think Malcolm
might go that way too.
Oh,
well, actually, no, I'm rooting for Penner because Penner's like our favorite. But if Penner gets kicked, then I'll root for Malcolm.
Yeah. Well, I like Malcolm. I like Lisa, and I like Scoop, but I'm still going to have to go with Scoop because he's the whole reason I'm watching this season. I took a break for a long time.
Okay, he's the one that left, that got burned, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
So,
yeah,
he's the whole reason I started watching this season.
I totally understand why, you're rooting for him, but... as a fan, I also, am hoping he had such a terrible thing happen to him when I, saw that season. So that's one, reason to root for him. And now his, tribe mates seem to have him targeted. So he's kind of like an underdog. And then
he's going to have to fight now.
What a great move he came up with in that challenge. And it's just like, go. Yes. He's really showing, his smarts. And I am hoping he goes far. So,
yeah, I think Malcolm's going to kick some ass, though.
I do, too.
Just saying.
Yeah, I hope so. I really do hope that now that he's in the alliance. You know, it concerns me, though, because Pete made the comment that that Scoopin' was sort of a dummy or something to Malcolm, and I'm wondering now that they have Malcolm if they might go ahead and try to get Scoopin' out, and I like Scoopin'.
Yeah, I got that impression, too, that they might think about getting rid of him because they have Malcolm, yeah.
Right, so...
Yeah.
I would like to see Scoopin' make it further in this game. And now that they have Malcolm, I feel like Scoopin' may be in further danger. that concerns
me. I'm glad
that
they have it down to two tribes now, and you can have a real competition because, unfortunately, man, Tribe 3, it was like, why are you here, you know? Just everybody go home now, you know?
So sad to watch them lose week after week after week. And
I know everybody hated him, but I liked Russell. I don't know. I always root for assholes for some reason. But but I did.
I liked him the first time
before he had to go home. So when I heard
fan,
he was coming back, I automatically wanted to root for him.
Yeah, as a fan, I never, you know, watching this season or even his first season, I never hated him. As, you know, watching this season, I was just going, oh, you know, I think that was kind of a bad move. You know,
yeah.
You're going to, you know, the way he was, you know,
he had too much
of an
attitude.
But yeah. I still liked him, but he just made a few little too many errors in his social game, if you will.
Yeah,
yeah.
He had a major attitude problem.
So what do you think will happen when the merge happens? Do you think that Malcolm and Denise will go back together and reform their alliance?
If they have the chance to do that, oh, yes, I do. Definitely. I think they will.
Bye-bye.
But they don't need to get caught talking because if people notice they're spending a lot of time together, then they'll put a target on their back and they're gone.
Yeah, they'll have to be really careful.
Don't get caught talking.
Right.
There's a thing that we did in our season is, you know, the cameras follow you everywhere, so unless you go to the bathroom. So what they would need to do is do what Chris and I did, is one go one way, like you're going to the bathroom, then the other one wait about 5 minutes and then go in a different direction, and then y'all just kind of cut across the field and meet in the middle, and then that way you can conspire off camera. We done it the whole time off game, but that way people don't see them talking.
Right. Hey,
yeah, it's
Bubba,
interesting. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you what your thoughts are about Pete telling, and Dog brought this up in the chat room, Pete telling Malcolm, you know, the new arrival, brings him in and tells him about the, you know, that he's got the hidden immunity. How do you feel about that?
Okay, maybe telling him about the idol. You know, if making out as far as like Scoop's thought, that intelligence or something like that, I think it's a dumb move. Well, I shouldn't use the word dumb. I don't think it was a smart move. Reason being this. Now, you always hear people say respect's earned. Well, not with me. I always give people respect, but you can lose it real quick. But I don't give my trust out.
I give everybody my respect. I open doors
and show them respect and stuff like that. That comes freely, but trust, you're going to have to earn. And him just coming in and throwing out there, who's not to say that he takes that information, goes to Scoop,
yep,
and says, hey, look, he's got the immunity. He said that he's wanting to do this and he's wanting to do that.
Yep.
You know,
That's kind of where I was going with that. I was thinking, maybe not such a smart move on Pete's, you know, behalf, because it would be so easy, and especially because Malcolm has an idol, it'd be so easy for him to use that information against Pete.
But in Pete's defense, I'll say this, because and this is one thing I didn't like, you know, our season, people just kind of jumped to it. We don't know. They may have had several conversations before they had that one.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So in Pete's defense, there's probably a lot of conversations we didn't see. And when they had that one, they put that in there, and then they cut everything else out, and it looks like that's the only conversation they had.
Yeah.
Because in my season, they cut out the conversation with me and Lisa and Amy and everything, and it looked like I just signaled for no reason. So I'm giving Pete the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they had a lot of conversations before they had that one. But if they only had that one, then I don't think it was a real smart move. But if they had other ones building up to that, I would understand him doing that.
It would be more understandable. Okay.
Right. And those conversations could have been cut and edited out, and we didn't see them, so.
Yeah, I don't think Malcolm will tell anybody anything about him having an idol, no matter what. And so after the merge and he sees Denise comes and all that whatnot stuff happens. Yeah, this whole thing with the, you know, like the one girl found the immunity clue and then the other girl found the idol and told the guy, I'm sorry, I don't remember all their names, who you were just talking about, I think. What was his name?
Pete or
Pete?
No,
that's one.
No, tell. Ask
you know
him
who I'm
the
question. I don't know. I'm getting confused now. Remember the one girl on shit. What tribe is it? Not the.
Are you
I
talking
think,
about the blonde Abby?
Is she the one that found the clue, and then she told the girl with the dark hair she found the clue? And then the dark-haired girl actually found the idol and didn't tell her she found it, but told a guy. Is Pete the guy she told?
That's Abby and RC, I think you're talking
about.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. It's like telephone to me. I got confused. But I don't think Malcolm will tell anybody he has it until it's good for him.
Right. I agree. I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah. And frankly, in my opinion, I think the only reason that Abby is still there is because they've never been up for elimination. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm sorry, but in my opinion, why is she even there? She never plays in any competitions. She does nothing.
She's always arguing.
Right.
You know, but Bubba brought up Bubba brought up a really valid point. She's the type of person you want to keep in because she's going to have more of a target on her.
Yeah, we called them a lightning rod. As long as that person's around, everybody's wanting to vote them out, so your name won't come up.
Yeah,
everybody's focusing on them, and that was the main reason we kept Rory in our season. I mean, everybody's like, oh, we're going to vote him out. Why can't we vote him out? Blah, blah, blah. It's like Minkery's like, no, we're keeping him, you know?
Yeah.
So that may be it. They, you know,
but they,
the
haven't, they haven't had to go to tribal council yet, so we'll see what
true.
Happens when they get their turn, I guess.
Right.
Yep.
But she's definitely expendable.
Well,
I mean,
thank you so much for coming
in. Whether it be Big Brother or Survivor or any other game, I would rather be there with people that really want to play. You know, I would want to get rid of, whether it means I lose the money or not, you know what I mean? I think I would rather get rid of the floaters, per se, and those kind of people, and actually play with people who are really trying to win. That way I know if I lose, I lose to somebody that's really playing the game. You know what I mean? If you get your ass kicked, you get your ass kicked, but you know that you did it right, type thing. I don't know.
Right.
I agree.
And that your philosophy and thinking is the way the majority people think.
Okay.
And that's the same reason I would take that floater to the final two, because if you're sitting on the jury, you're going to say, I don't want that floater to win. So that's why I would take the floater to the jury.
Yeah, I think you do that to a point, but I don't know about to the end. I don't know. Well, everybody's different.
Yeah.
I think, well, it's easy for people like us to sit here and say what we would do as opposed to people like you who have done it. It's way different when you actually live it. So I have to give you that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know better than me. I mean, if I went on Survivor, which I would never do because I'm afraid of spiders, first of all. But or on Big Brother or any other show. Yeah, I can sit here and BS all day about how I would play the game, but once you get in there, it's a whole new world.
Yeah, you don't
and,
even know
and
how
you're amazing
you're
to have
it.
Done it, Survivor especially. I got to give you people a hell of a lot of respect for that because
well,
I don't even
that.
Know anybody
and a lot
that
of,
can do that.
A lot of things that people don't remember, it's like now they get rice. when I done it, they gave us a pot and a machete. That was it.
Yeah.
A pot and a machete. And
we
didn't have big grapefruit growing or nothing around. It was wintertime. And fortunately, we found, smile, stuff like that that we could chop up and, which is kind of like a sweet potato, and found a few things. But, it was tough. And that first night when it rained, and see, this kind of wanted, this chick, she got out, she was sick, she went home. But I'm thinking,
she probably has some kind of, worms in her stomach or something.
Well, it could be. It could be. Or
seriously.
It could be where she had, a mental breakdown. Because, if you think about this, now they had a tarp. That first night, we was out in the jungle. It was just rain. And it's practically Chinese water torture.
Because
there's nothing to protect you. Now they had a tarp that they could get under. But once you're wet, you're still cold.
Yeah.
But Richard Hatch pointed this out when he was playing. Everybody was complaining about how wet it was and all this, and they were freezing and stuff. And Richard said, it's because you're sitting in there trying to stay dry. You're already wet. If you would just get out here in it and just take it in, it's not so bad.
That kind of makes sense.
And I remembered Richard saying that when it was my season, and it's like when it's raining, I just get out in it and just take it in. And
don't try to get away, just accept it and do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And because it was people making themselves miserable by constantly thinking, I don't want to be wet, drip, I don't want to be drip. And it's just, it drives you
nuts.
And probably
constantly looking up at the sky, hoping to see the sun break through.
Right. It drives you nuts.
Well, kudos to you, because I'll tell you what, I not only know I could never do Survivor, I don't know one person that could even try it. The people that do amaze me, even the ones that only make it to the first freaking elimination, it amazes me.
Deb, I understand you have some news for us today.
Oh, geez. Well, that's not why I called, but Paul insisted. I had my last radiation treatment today. I'm done. Yippee!
Hey, all right.
Congratulations,
yay.
Deb. I am so happy for you.
It's gone. It's done.
So happy for you. Here we go.
Awesome. That is so awesome.
Cheers.
So you're like a
drink.
Yeah.
Everybody have a drink. I'm done.
And
so you're like a real survivor. I just played a survivor on TV.
It's been a long,
that's awesome,
8 months, but I'm one of the lucky ones. It's gone. I'm done with my treatment. I still have to go see my radiologist every week for a while until my burns go away. Actually, truth be told, chemo, the whole bananas, the whole thing I've gone through, this is the worst part, so I'm not complaining at all.
I am so happy for you, Deb.
Thank you.
I know it's been...
It's done, it's gone, and I'll tell you what, I don't know how many people listen to your show, but whoever does, if you ever get a bad mammogram, don't just do what your doctor freaking tells you to do. If you want, because I did so much research on this crap when it started, I know more about cancer than some of my doctors do, I think, anymore. I mean, I blew my oncologist's mind the first time I met him. So if anybody ever has an issue, tweet me, look me up on Facebook or whatever through one of you guys,
That's what you've got to do these days. You can't just rely on one doctor. You've got to do your own homework, and you've really got to do your own research.
Yeah.
You've got to get second opinions, third opinions.
And I know so many people that their doctors tell them, well, don't go on the internet. Don't go searching on the internet.
Oh, bullshit.
Because it'll make you nuts. That's bullshit.
Bless you, Deb. I'm so happy for you. And
Yeah, I'm good
to go. Prayers have been answered. And
yes,
I'm so happy for you. I know you weren't able to go to Vegas this year, and I know that was so hard for you. Are you able to go?
But I'm going to Vegas in December.
I was just going to ask you, are you able to go now that it's over? I know you were planning on going once everything was done, and that was going to be my question. Are you still going?
Yeah, I'm going to go the beginning of December. I'm still going to go out and see Charmed and a couple people and Dan and,
Well, I'm so happy to hear
that, babe. I actually was considering switching to the Toys for Tots thing for Panther, so I'm kind of debating now.
Oh, Dev, I would love to see you at Toys for Tots. That would be so wonderful.
I'll have to message you on Facebook and see what the scoop is with that, because I haven't finalized my plans yet.
There is going to be so many wonderful people there. I mean, like I said, I just talked to Jen City tonight, and I'm almost 100% sure she's going to be there. Ian is going to be there. There's going to be some Survivor people there. There's going to be some Amazing Race people there, along with Big Brother. This is the first year that they've, you know, instead of it just being Big Brother this year, that they've opened it up to Big Brother and Friends. It's their fifth anniversary, and it's going to be an amazing event. And it's much more intimate than all the other events that, you know, we've ever been to.
Yeah, I know. I watch every year.
This event, you actually spend the entire weekend with the reality stars that go there. And it's just so different. It's such for such a great cause. The Navy people
even if
come
I,
in.
Even if I don't do that and I still go to Vegas, I'm going to
enjoy it.
Get in contact with Panther
I,
and contribute anyhow. But
Yeah,
Lola brought up some Glass House people are going to be there too.
Glass House people, Gene and
Jeffrey
are going to be there. It's just going and I think Big Ange may even be coming.
Seriously.
Yes. Hey, I want to get the chance to mention when you said people, if you are facing Deb, if you're facing what I faced, contact me on Twitter because of what doctors have said. I still remember the day that Cherry heard, and she's actually listening on the phone, I believe, but that Cherry had heard some of the symptoms that Vicky was experiencing for years and years, and doctors weren't able to diagnose it. And Cherry goes, I know what that is. Remember that, Cherry?
I do. She was having real sharp pains in her face and from her nose out into her face. And it's a rather rare disease. It's something that, you know, you don't hear a lot about. And she had been going to doctor after doctor for it for a number of years, but it was continuing to get worse, and it was like shocking, real sharp pains. And eventually it gets really bad and almost paralyzes your face. And Vicky was going through absolute torment, and her doctors just didn't know what to do. And she mentioned the symptoms on Facebook, and I was like, Vicky, I know what this is. Go to this website. And she went to that website, and she called me and was crying, basically. And she went to her doctor and said, I think this is what I have. And it turned out that was what she had. And she went to a neurologist, and they did the surgery on her, and she's doing great now.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes it just happens that somebody knows.
Had another chat friend who you guys probably know, but I'm not going to give her name, but recently that messaged me on Facebook that they found something on her mammogram. This was like about a month ago. And her doctor basically said to her, well, not even talking about a biopsy, okay? This was in her breast, okay? Not even talking about a biopsy. Well, most women just say get it out. And I said to her, what the F, okay? No. Get a biopsy. you know, don't worry about it unless you, until you find out you have something to worry about. You get a biopsy. They don't hurt, you know. And I told her exactly what my biopsy was like, you know, exactly what they did, the whole thing. Get a biopsy, then wait for that, and then decide what to do. Don't just say take it out because, okay, fine. So you get the surgery, automatically get a surgery, and they take whatever the mass is out and send it away, and then they biopsy it and decide if it's cancer or not, blah, blah, blah. And you're talking weeks and weeks and weeks when you could know in 3 days. And she did what I told her to do, and thank God for her. It turned out not to be cancer. It's just, you know, like a cystic type thing.
Right. Poor Bubba's sitting over there probably thinking, what am I? This is supposed to be a survivor chat. But, you know,
sorry.
It just goes to show you that
well, you started
the Lord
it.
Works in mysterious ways. And sometimes he hooks us up with, you know, people in on Facebook and in different ways. And we just don't know, you know, sometimes it might be through a survivor chat. It might be, you know, in
a show like this.
Who knows how, but the Lord works in mysterious ways, and we're put in touch with each other for a reason at different times in our lives. And,
yes, and if anybody ever has a bad mammogram, try to friend me on Facebook and tell me how, you know, where you came from, because I don't just friend everybody. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Or tweet me or something. And I will be happy because I have researched and learned so much, and my doctor just can't believe how much I know. So, and
well,
I'm in a good place now. Boom.
This is called the Rad Reality Show, and it's basically about reality TV. But Ron always wanted to say this is about real life situations and those kind of realities. So I'm so glad that you got a chance to talk a little bit about this tonight. I'm glad to hear you're in a great mood and you joined us tonight.
I'll be back more often now because I'm done with treatment. Today was my last day.
Well, thanks so much, Deb. It's
again,
been
Deb.
Great talking to you, sweetie.
You too.
Have a great night, and I hope you do call in more often. We've
yes,
missed you.
I will be participating more, I promise.
Okay, hon. You
great.
Have a great night, babe.
You guys too. Bye.
All right, hon. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Okay. Sorry about that, Bubba. We really got sidetracked there.
Oh, that's okay. Now I can talk about my rash.
Oh, God.
I love you.
I think it's great that she got on here and shared with her story with us, because a lot of women's going through that battle.
That's
and some
right.
of them, they are afraid to talk about it because, you know, maybe they don't understand unless they've went through it, you know? So I think it's good that she got on here and shared.
I agree. You know,
you
we
know,
all.
I think it's wonderful.
We all go through different things in our lives, and, you know, we try to say, you know, we have the Rad Reality family on this show because we've got a lot of long-time, long-term listeners, and Deb is certainly one of those listeners who's been with us for a long time. She's part of the family, and we love her to death, and we're so happy that she's, you know, made it through this, and she's done with everything now, and she's in that great mood she's in tonight, able to go to Vegas next month, and
yep.
just so
and
happy
really
for her. We were really all concerned about her. And, you know, we've had a lot of people in the Rad Reality family that we call it, and, you know, we say our prayers for them. We send out, you know, prayer requests and try to keep everybody in the loop of, you know, how people are doing. Sometimes, you know, the reality people have struggles. And I'm
yeah.
sure you remember back when Mary and David's little girl was in bad shape. You know, we were
oh.
saying prayers for little Vanna.
Vanna.
And, you know, it's just part of our show. We.
And I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Paul.
No, I was just going to, as the time's ticking away, people that may have listened, you know, when you called in last week, you know, you also had your dad in the emergency room, and maybe if
he's
you
doing
would
real
like
well
to.
Now.
Okay. because people that heard that may like to hear how he's doing.
Yeah, he's doing real well. He had a bladder infection and a kidney infection. They've been giving us medicine and stuff. So it's been working great. They said it's a mess, didn't work. They'd have to bring him to the hospital and put in an IV. But it seems to be working great. He's doing well, and he's going to try to come to my son's ball game tomorrow. So,
oh, that's awesome.
He's doing
that's
real well.
Yeah.
God's still in the healing business. So
that's right. That's right.
So.
Well, I'm certainly glad to hear that. I'm glad to close the show on such good news.
Yes.
Regarding your father and Deb. I have no idea what Jeff was talking about as far as next week's show. Whatever was done that was unprecedented, we'll find out about next week. This show that we just watched yesterday was certainly, I thought it was a good show. I was sorry to see somebody else taken out by the medics, you know, but it happens. We had somebody put in the chat room that as soon as she was taken out, she was given a shot, and it was on the boat. She was given a shot, and she instantly felt better. She was dehydrated and was in the hospital for 4 days. So hopefully she felt better, you know, right away, and she may regret taking herself out of the game after, you know, she started feeling better. But at that moment when you're feeling that terrible, all you want to do is get out of that horrific pain. And I fully understand, you know, you just got to get yourself out of that pain sometimes. And I can't blame anybody for that. Only you can determine your pain level and when you can't take it anymore. And it's sad. It's sad to see anybody, you know, take themselves out. If she would have accepted the, you know, the liquids or the, you know, whatever they were going to give her to try to rehydrate her, she may have been able to stay in and, you know, continue in the game. But at that moment, she was in so much pain, she just wanted out. And, you know, you can't blame anybody for that.
No, absolutely not.
So that's where we're at. Do you have any announcements for the end of the show, Bubba?
All that I was going to say is if y'all want to keep up with me on Twitter or anybody of the fans out there, just type in Samson, my last name, S-A-M-D-S-O-N, Travis, and follow me on Twitter.
Wonderful. And I want to let you know, Bubba, that we have had some of our listeners talk about how much they have been enjoying you on this show. We even had somebody call into one of our other shows and mention you and how much they have enjoyed you on this show. So
I appreciate that. I mean, and I really enjoy it because it seems the people that's listening and stuff like that, they're more than just fans. They're like a student. It's like they really take that. It's blowing me away about some of the things he catches. It's like, wow, yes, exactly, you know. Because when you've been on the show, you have so many people come up to you, and they ask the same questions, and each time you have to act like you've never heard it before. And if you get on it, it's like people's noticing the small details. It's like, okay, now we're having a conversation, you know.
Right,
and I've really enjoyed it. It's been great.
Well, we certainly are enjoying you and love the stories that you tell and the passion that you have for Survivor, and the fans are just loving it. So I want to thank you for being here with us each week and just keep, you know, bringing what you do, because everyone is just loving it so much. So
good deal. Now, I tried to call some of my friends today to see if they'd want to be on the show or whatnot, and it was kind of short notice, but hopefully next week I'll have somebody from Survivor be on the show with me. Is that cool?
That's awesome. Whatever
okay.
you can do.
Okay.
All right.
Well, you take care, and y'all have a blessed night, okay?
You do the same, Bubba. Take care, and I hope that we didn't cut your call for your son too short. I wish him the very best as well. You have a great week.
All right. Y'all take care.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye-bye, hon. Well, I think that's about it. I do want to remind everyone, I mentioned it earlier, that on Manic Monday, this coming Monday, we are going to have Jen City joining Michelle. And let me see. I might have another announcement as well. Paul, do you have anything?
No, the only thing is, if I recollect, a couple weeks ago, you said that maybe Michelle would be having Kat from Survivor. Do you know anything about that? Whether that's...
No.
Okay.
I know they were at that
in Phoenix,
conference
at that,
together,
yeah.
Right. But
yeah.
I don't know when she will be coming on the show. But Nyanka is also going to be on Monday's show with Michelle. So we'll have both Jen City and Nyanka on Manic Monday.
And Ben shared with me in a private message that she didn't get disconnected or just dropped, but she had another call that she had to take. So I wanted
right.
to let the listeners...
She was on with a client, so she couldn't call back in. But it was certainly nice hearing Nyanka again, and I can't wait to hear more from her on Monday. And Jen City, I just can't wait to talk to her. She is just so much fun. That girl just exudes just so much enjoyment with life. She is loving life to the fullest right now, and she appreciates everything that is coming her way, and I just love her. That girl is just awesome. Tomorrow night, her and Adam are going to see Primus together. I can't wait to hear about that on Monday. So that's going to be a great story, I'm sure. So make sure you're with us for Manic Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and then again on Tuesday for Jody's Box of Reality at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, and on Sunday, can't forget Louie, we've got Louie's show that is TAR's second pit stop with Louis Stravato at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. I'm not sure what guest he might have on, but with Louis, everybody loves Louis, and he can pick up the phone, and, you know, anybody's going to stop in if Louis asks them to, because just everybody loves Louis. So, and sometimes on his show, people will just call in out of the blue, when we don't even expect them to. So that's a show you
yes,
just
exactly.
have to be there.
I yeah. love the new title of his show, but when you just said everybody loves Louie, that could be a title of the show too.
That's true. It could be. Everybody loves Louie. It could very well be the name of his show. But he's so humble, I don't think he'd fall for it.
No, absolutely not.
It is sort of like the second pit stop, because you watch The Amazing Race and then you refresh your drink and you come on over to our show and you talk about The Amazing Race with Louie. And so that's sort of why we renamed it the second pit stop.
Cool
so.
Stuff.
Well, I want to thank Ben for reaching out to Nyanka, and thank you, because I know
you know, this is a passion, one of your favorite shows. So I'm so glad that you,
Well, always fun to be here. I'm going to jump off because my phone's beeping furiously like it's going to die. So,
okay.
All right.
It was good talking with you guys. I'll see you on Sunday night, and have a great weekend, everyone.
Thank you, Ben. You do the same, hon.
Will do. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, well, I guess we're going to close this one out with Ron, as we always do. I do hope everyone has a great weekend. And I believe, just before we go, that the Cardinals won the game. Woo-hoo.
Yes, they did.
Okay, I'm trying to pick a closer that we haven't heard recently. Paul's put some new ones in that I'm trying to play some of our new ones. So
the problem is, while she's looking, the problem is that I've given Jerry too many choices, and so I'm going to delete some of them so she can only... No, I'm just kidding. But,
no.
I'm buying you a little time to decide so you don't have to multitask too much while you're talking there. So
let's see. let's see. I think we'll go with this one. Okay. Here we go, everyone. You guys have a great night. Take care. God bless. And be kind to each other.
Tonight, it was a great show. And I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in.
Well, there's no space and time. I love you for my life, darling, you're a friend of mine. When my life is over, remember when we were together. We were alone, and I was singing this song for you. We were alone, I was singing this song for you. We were alone, I was singing this song. Singing this song for you.
So, thank you guys. Love you.
Oh, that was a great, great closing clip, Paul.
well, it's a favorite song. And when I came up with that song and I played it for you, you go, oh, I love that song.
Yeah, I really do.
And,
I love that
and
one.
And just to audibly say this, yes, Sunday nights, some of the football on CBS, they run till, you know, half past the hour and 60 minutes comes on and, you know, first. So, yes, sometimes The Amazing Race starts, the show starts at half past, you know, 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central Time. So I just wanted to clear that up.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, everyone. Take care. Love you all. God bless.
Good night.
Good night.